God bless you, saints. Oh, oh, I know who I am. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my God. We have one last special sister, Rachel.
Testing. All right. God bless you. I've been playing this song for a couple of years. Never thought to sing it until we went to North Carolina last month and the brother was preaching and he made some comments and I was like, it reminded me of this song. So I thought I'd sing it way out of my comfort zone. Everybody should know it, so I ask that you just help me. Thank you.
I'll never let go. Come on, I'll never let go of his hand. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, I'm still holding on. I'm still in God's holy plan. Hey, yes, I am. See, I'm still holding on. Yes, I am. And I'm bound for the promised land. Hallelujah. I'm still. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Hey, and I'll never let go of his hand. I said I'll never let go of his hand. I'm still holding on. Yes, I am. Yeah. Hey, yes, I am. Hallelujah. You see, I got my hand in the master's hand. I got my hand in the master's hand. That's why I'm still holding on. Yes, I am. Oh, yes, I am. Oh, yes, I am. I'll never let go. I'll never let go. Say, I will never let go of his hand, his hand, his hand. His hand, say, you see, I'll never. Oh. When I stop holding him, he's still holding me. When I stop holding him, he's still holding me. I'll never let go. Hey, go. His hand. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Man, God is good. God is good. God is good. Give the Lord another hand of praise. Please be seated, if you can, in the presence of the Lord. What an atmosphere. Sister Rachel took us old school. She started singing that. I just start thinking about my sister-in-law, Tanya, because that was her song. And when Tanya would get a hold of it, man, we had church back in the day. Boy, that was, woo, Jesus. Last night, just some of the songs that were selected to be sung, it created a atmosphere and an anointing. And the brother started off with, I think we just finished singing I Won't Go Back. And the first special I called, I just started calling, I didn't know. But then here come the young sisters going right into that same channel with their song. And then I remember I think the brothers came after them, and man, they went old school on us, and like, ooh, boy, you make me feel like it's Sunday morning right now. And, we just had a good time with that, and Sister Brittany blessed us. And then, man, I tell you, when Sister Christina got up here and did God Is, see, don't go way back like that on us. You know, that just pulled something out of us, you know. That's when church ought to get all broke and everything, you know. It's supposed to be a 45-minute song service. And I'm sorry. But I tell you, it just, man, just a real, real special anointing in the place. And that song this morning, Sister Rachel, that was right on time. I'll just say that's right on time. God knows exactly, amen, when that song was supposed to be sang. And just all the other specials that went forth. I know Brother Solomon wasn't feeling well in his body, but he still came up here and told the devil, I know who I am. I know who I am. I'm healed. That's who I am. And Amen. And Sister Charisse, we always get blessed, amen, by your singing. You have a wonderful voice, and we just appreciate, amen, just the dedication to the Lord Jesus. And Sister Burrs, amen, we certainly thank God for her gift. That was requested by Sister Rebecca Bryant. She said, we can't come this far not hear Sister Burrs. And say she can't sing at church, so she got to come to the house and sing for us. But we're so glad that you're able to step back in time and bring step into the vision. Praise the Lord. That's all right. That's all right. Well, I got a couple prayer requests, I believe, that I need to make mention of here, and want us to also just you can put the announcements on the board there for me, and then also I wanted to just make some announcements, and then we'll have Brother Nathan come and minister for us tonight. Brother Nathan will be ministering at Bride of Christ Tabernacle there in Boynton Beach, and we've been having some wonderful services every time we get together just as churches. Last night, man, we had Boynton represented, Okeechobee represented. I know that Miami was represented, but there was another meeting happening last night down in Miami, at Brother Bernard's. Who's the pastor, the minister that was from? Thanks, I'm from Brother Vindale. Yeah, from Trinidad. He was here ministering in Miami, but we still had a really, really good turnout, you know, last night, and I was just very, very blessed, and the word of the Lord that was preached to our hearts, you know, where are you at, right? And we just had a really, really good time. Brother Nathan did a wonderful job with that, and just everything that's happened, the testimony that he gave on Friday night, our hearts have been uplifted and encouraged, and just God's been really moving, you know, on this trip. We've seen healing take place. Amen. We've seen healing take place. Last night, you know, our brother Troy called me and told me Sister Tanya had come to be prayed for something, and she'll have to give the whole testimony because I can only get part of it. But he called me and say that she wasn't able to move her arm in a certain direction. And after prayer last night, she went home and just not knowing, just went to get the iron to pull out the clothes to start ironing. And next thing, her arm was moving, and she hadn't been able to move it like that for a while. So we talk about instantaneous healing. Don't tell me he's not the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our God reigns. And I mean, just some of the things that we've seen God do already, and it's not over yet. God got more in store. So I tell you, we ought to, amen, just every time we come under expectation. Amen. We just thank God. It's good to see you, Brother Tracy, right? Good to see you again. Praise the Lord. Amen. I saw Sister Cecily come in. So good to see her. Is that on the boat? No. Okay. Sister, happy birthday to you, Sister Cecily. It's your birthday too today. Brother Mike's birthday. God bless you, Brother Mike. Happy birthday to you. Praise the Lord. We told him on Wednesday, said, we know where you're going to be for your birthday. He said, he's going to be in church. Praise the Lord. God bless you, Brother Mike. We certainly appreciate you. Amen. Thank God for you. I mean, Brother Mike, as soon as he come in, he know exactly what he's supposed to be doing. He get into his right seat and jump right up and do what he's supposed to be doing. So we thank God for you, Brother Mike. God bless you. Amen. As I'm making these announcements, Brother Nathan tonight will be at Bride of Christ Tabernacle in Boynton. Sisters on Tuesday night, there'll be a prayer meeting here at the church for the sisters at 7:30, so keep that in mind. Our regular service will be on Wednesday, and then Friday night I'll be doing a special teaching on courtship versus dating, and I want to encourage that all the parents, amen, bring your children, amen. Don't send your children, bring your children. Amen. And if you don't have any children, you know, that are of that age to date or whatever, or being actually courtship, we call it. Still, I want you to come. I want you to hear how the church does this, how the church does it. Right. Because, you know, if we all just kind of got within the guidelines that we tried to set, then it just make it real easy, you know, for everybody. So just come and amen. And after we've kind of talked about it, see, you have other people that know about it, and they can help you enforce what's being taught. Amen. Praise the Lord, because we just need this. We're trying to give everybody a very successful foundation when it comes to relationships. The devil's against relationships. And we want to give people a very successful strategy, you know, when it comes to relationships, something that's going to honor God, right? And, a lot of people like to honor their flesh, but we're talking about honoring God. Hello, somebody. I'm going to let the preacher preach in a little bit. But, you know, a lot of people want to honor their flesh, and we don't want that. And certainly, as a parent, it's always absolutely no if your child wants to get involved with an unbeliever. Brother Branham said, under no circumstances, none. You can't think of one. Under no circumstances should a believer be with an unbeliever. Not start out that way. Right, if you get stuck out there in the world and you make some decisions, and let me get out of here, boy, I'm getting ready to make some comments. And I'm gonna tell y'all something that my uncle told me about young ladies. Young ladies that get messed up with the wrong guy, and they go out and get the wrong guy. And I'm gonna just there's some guys that are really good for you, and other guys that are lemons. I might as well, I'm going to just put it like it is. They are lemons. And she'll go out there and get herself a lemon. At the beginning, it tastes like lemonade to you. Right? But eventually you realize this is a lemon that you got. And then you want to bring them to the church after you got them. And you want the church to make lemonade out of them. Brother Branham says it's going to take grace to keep your relationship together. I told y'all before, you're going to pray now. Or you're going to pray later, but you're going to pray. Don't think you're smarter than God. Don't think you're smarter than God. Don't think you got game. Boy, Eve found out she ain't had no game. Glory to God. She ain't have no game. We have a prayer request. Next week, don't forget Brother Kenneth Walker next Sunday morning. And then we're also looking to have a service next Sunday evening. Brother Kenneth will be speaking. And we want to do something around Thanksgiving as well. But for sure, we'll still have service. Brother Kenneth will be speaking on next Sunday evening. Amen. And we'll give you the time on that. But just be prepared for that on next week. Just a couple, on the table there's a box. Brother Nathan brought that box. You get that box off the table and just lift it up so everybody can see it. Brother Nathan and his, one of the sisters in his church, they brought this beautiful box to us. Just lift it up. Turn it the other way so they can see that. Yeah. We just thank God for it. And what it is, and Brother Nathan's church, they had this for mission offerings that they would leave there. But for us, I want to just kind of leave, because sometimes we don't take an actual offering in church because of, just sometimes the way the service goes, I don't necessarily want to take an offering. But anytime you want to leave an offering, that's an offering box. That's for offering, right? So if you come late and you didn't get a chance to participate in the offering, you can put it in the offering box as you go out. Praise the Lord. Now, I know I'm saying that out loud, and I hope we ain't got no devils that'll try to pick up the box. Amen. But we'll have brothers watching the box. Hallelujah. But we thank God for them. Sister Christy, amen, made that for us. And Brother Nathan just blessed us with it. So we thank you, Brother Nathan, for the box. They brought it down for us. Hallelujah. And you get a chance to just kind of look at the etching, how she put the cloud on there and put the church name on there and our scripture on the top of it. Just did a wonderful job, and we're just very excited, you know, about it. So you can use that, you know, anybody that you see that might come a little late and don't get a chance to give, and you can just put it in the box there. Praise the Lord. All right, a couple prayer requests here, and I'm gonna have the brothers come in a little bit. Just give me 1 second. Here says this prayer request is from Brother Jerry for Abigail. Just Abigail is a girl of whom I was told just received an announcement that she has cancer. And this is a sickness of the devil. Says, I ask that God renews her faith and allow her to accept her healing. I know that she's already healed, but I trust that God will reveal it to her. Pray for a healing, church. So we want to pray for Abigail. Also, Brother Jerry is asking a prayer for Albert Flores. Says, I ask the church to pray for this man. I came across at a gas station yesterday. He approached me in desperate need and asked if I could spare a quarter so he can buy a beer. I told him I can't lead you to drinking, but I could lead you to God. Amen. He gave me a hug and was very encouraged after I gave him one of our church cards. And says, the last thing I told him is that I will see you again, brother. He said, I will. Amen. So we'll pray for Albert Flores. Amen. Also, another here, Sister Tina, saying, please pray for a coworker who's going for a biopsy Wednesday for a lump found in her breast. Pray God will give me the words to say to her, and she will give her heart to the Lord in the midst of this trial. So we want to pray for her coworker. And also Sister Tyena, Brother Jerry says, Sister Tyena has been dealing with some major headaches. She went to the doctor and was then advised to get a CAT scan. I asked that the church pray that this is nothing more than just a headache. She appeared really broken when she approached me with this request. So I ask that God gives her strength in the midst of this trial. So we want to pray for Sister Tyena. And you heard the prayer request earlier. South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, they've gone through a drought and they are in need of rain. They've been experiencing wildfires there. And I believe Brother Nathan even ran into some of that in Tennessee as well as they were on the way down. So just pray for that area that God would just give them rain. Amen. Let's take these requests before the throne of grace. And brothers, I'll have you come at this time. We'll also pray over the offering while we're praying for these requests. Let's just bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come on behalf of these requests, asking that you would move, Lord Jesus, by your spirit. This co-worker that's going in for a biopsy because they found a lump in her breast. God give Sister Tina the right words to speak to this lady, that her faith might be increased and anointed to believe you for healing. The prophet was told that if you could just get the people to believe, not even cancer would stand before your prayer. So if the angel Lord spoke that, then there's reason for it, Father. We just ask that you would give her the right words to share, and God, that she'd be able to be touched by the feeling of this lady's infirmities, Lord, and Father, be able to bring hope and health and healing to her. We also pray for Sister Tyena, who's going through major headaches, Lord, that she's been experiencing. We come against that devil in the name of Jesus, and we ask that you, God, would give her complete and total healing in her body, that you would set her free. We pray, oh God, for Albert Flores, who Brother Jerry ran into, and he told him, I can't lead you to a beer, but I can lead you to God. Father, may that encounter that he had with that man make a difference in that man's life. May he use the card that he's been given, and Lord, may he call to receive hope, receive prayer. And God, we just ask that you break the spirit that is binding him up, and may you loose him from that, God, and give him a hope and give him a future. We ask, oh God, that you look upon Abigail, who received an announcement that she also has cancer. We know that's just the devil that's attacking this young lady, but we believe, Lord, that she can receive her healing. And Father, we ask that you would anoint Brother Jerry, that he give the right words at the right time, amen, that young lady might walk out of that condition knowing that she's freed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Father, if none of these people know you, we ask that before you heal their bodies, that you would heal their souls, and that they would come to know you, Father, in the pardon of sin. But Lord, all the saints, the believers, the people that are in the North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia area that's impacted by the fires, Lord, we ask that you would send rain. And oh God, that you would spare crops, and that you would, Lord, that you would deliver the people from what they're going through, God. And we just ask, Lord, that you bring glory and honor to yourself through this entire situation. We also pray over our offering today as we give from our hearts. We ask that you would use it for the furtherance of your kingdom. We thank you and we bless you. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. You can give the Lord a hand of praise. Praise the Lord. You are not a God created by human hands, and you are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. And you are not a God, give me that second verse, whose power none can contain. And you're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God who's worthy of everything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. Come on, everybody, stand to your feet and say, you are God alone from before time began. Hey, you are on your throne. Come on, you are God alone. Yes, and right now, well, in the good times and bad, Lord, you are on your throne. Because hey, you're unchangeable. Hallelujah, you're unshakable. Hallelujah, you're unstoppable. Oh, that's what you are. Everybody say, you're unchangeable. Hallelujah, unshakable. You're unstoppable. That's what you are. Hallelujah, say you're unchangeable. Oh, unshakable. God, you're unstoppable. That's what you are. That's what you are. Come on, one more time. Say you are unchangeable. Yeah. You're unshakable. God, you're unstoppable. And because you live inside of me, that makes me unchangeable. That makes me unshakable. That makes me unstoppable. That's what I am. That's what I am. Say I'm unchanged because he lives inside of me. I'm unshakable. Unstoppable. That's what I am. That's what I am. Come on, sing it again. Say, I'm unchangeable. Yeah. I'm unshakable. Say, I'm unstoppable. That's what I am. That's what I am. Come on, you want to sing with all your heart. Say, I'm unchangeable. Hallelujah. I'm unshakable. Glory to God. I'm unstoppable. That's what I am. You are God alone. You are God alone. Brother Nathan, before time began. Hey. Hallelujah. Yeah, yeah. Good times and bad.
Lord, you are all I need. In the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. Amen. Amen. Aren't you thankful that you serve a God like that? Amen. My, my. Oh, my brother Solomon reminded us, we heard last night where we were at. He reminded us of where we are, who we are. Brother Jack reminded us again, we're unchangeable, unstoppable, unshakable. Amen. That's the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're part of him, Brother Branham said, you can no more die than God can die. Because you're a part of him. You came from eternity. You're in his thoughts. Amen. I want to tell you this morning, you're blessed. Amen. I've preached to bigger churches and I've preached to smaller churches. But I've never preached to any more talented churches. Amen. You're blessed. God's blessed you with musicians and singers and a pastor that's concerned about you and cares for you. You're blessed. You're blessed. Amen. Sister Burrs reminded us that we stepped into the vision. Amen. I preached a sermon a while back. Brother Branham talked about a man that actually I took Brother Troy and Brother Jack to the place where it happened in New Boston, Indiana, up above Henryville. And there's a church called Tunnel Hill Christian Church where Brother Branham had seen a vision. The angel of the Lord had stopped him and showed him a certain tombstone there in the graveyard or cemetery beside the church. Said, when you see this, you'll know that you're headed in the right direction. He was going to pray for the little nail girl. And when he got to New Boston, there was going to be a gentleman that came out dressed in overalls and a corduroy yellow hat. And when they got to New Boston, he had some people with him. And here comes the man out in the corduroy hat. And Brother Branham said he noticed, the man himself noticed something strange. He said it was because he was part of the vision. Amen. I believe we need to recognize this morning we're part of the vision. Amen. A lot of people want to place it all in the past or all on the prophet or all on the pastor or all on the deacons. But you're part of the vision this morning. Amen. I believe when Brother Branham looked over there beyond the curtain of time, and he said, millions of voices screamed out, we're resting on it. I believe I was part of the vision. You say, well, how could you be over there? How could you be over there and be part of the vision? Well, the same way he could be there and be looking back at his body laying on the bed. Amen. He said, and who is this Melchizedek, 1965? He said, when you recognize that this is eagle's food that you're eating on, you heard from your theophany. Amen. I believe I've got one waiting for me over there, Brother Solomon. Amen. Amen. And then, oh, my sister Rachel reminded us that we're still holding on. Many have fallen away. Many have walked away. Many have left. Many are making fun of it and criticizing, but I thank God I'm still holding on. Brother Bram said after the flood in 37 there that when his wife and daughter had died, he met the mayor of the city coming through town. He said, Billy, what do you think of that God now? Do you still serve him? He said, did you keep your religion? He said, no, sir, it kept me. Amen. The only reason I'm holding on this morning is because he's holding on to me. Amen. There's many times that I would have let go, but he wouldn't let go, Brother Jack. Amen. Amen. We're blessed this morning. Amen. God bless you. Amen. You appreciate these musicians this morning? Thank you. I'm not going to try to sing, but God bless you. Thank you, musicians. I can't sing after that. Philip asked me yesterday in the car, he said, who's a better singer, you or Brother Jack? I said, well, buddy, that'd have to be Brother Jack. And he said, well, who's a better singer, Brother Jack or Sister Burrs? And Brother Jack said, I'll just have to concede to Sister Burrs. So, but we know where we're at, don't we, Brother Jack? We've recognized where we're at by the grace of God. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter 21. And I'm going to read a portion of several chapters, just a couple verses out of each chapter here. Starting with 2 Kings chapter 21. I just want to say it has been a privilege to be with you. And I believe God has blessed the services and has done some wonderful things. I was happy to hear of our sister's healing. Amen. God's doing wonderful things. Amen. Brother Solomon, I don't believe it was a coincidence that I had to come in the room right when you was asking for prayer. I believe God healed you this morning. Amen. Amen. I don't say those things lightly, but sometimes you just feel the presence of the Lord there and you know that the person got what they was looking for. So, right. Amen. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 1. It says, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Drop down to verse 18 with me. And Manasseh slept with his fathers, and was buried in the garden of his own house in the garden of Uzzah. And Amon, his son, reigned in his stead. Verse 20. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. Verse 23. And the servants of Amon conspired against him and slew the king in his own house. And the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Amon. And the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his stead. Chapter 22, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Chapter 23 and verse 24. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits, and the wizards, and the images, and the idols, and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him. Let's just bow our heads together this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we've looked into the scriptures this morning, Lord, recognizing a little lengthy reading, Father, but Lord, just wanting to use it as a parallel, Father. And Lord, I just ask you to give me strength this morning. Lord, we thank you for your presence that we felt here today. Thank you for how you've been moving in these services, Lord. I believe they were ordained, Lord, before the foundation of the world to encourage your people. Lord, not because I was here, Lord, but because you were here with us. And Lord, we already hearing testimonies of things that you've done, Father. We just want to give you glory and praise and honor because we know it's only you that can do these things. Lord, we just come before you again this morning, Lord, a needy people. Lord, many facing different circumstances, but I just ask that you would minister to those circumstances this morning, Lord. Help me to get myself into a channel, Lord, where you could use me as you see fit. Lord, we want you to have complete and total preeminence in this service. Whatever you would have us to do, whatever you would have us to say. Lord, I'm not afraid of anything the Holy Spirit would do. Lord, we just want you to feel welcome this morning. Have your way in the service, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. God bless you, and you can be seated. Amen. We recognize in the reading of this scripture here a pattern. And Manasseh, who was the king of Judah, he began to reign as king as a very young man of 12 years old, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he raised up idols and things to Baal and to different gods, and he began to raise up groves and high places, and he was evil. And when he died, his son Ammon reigned in his stead, and his son Ammon fell right along in this same pattern that his daddy did, and he was even more evil than Manasseh was. He began to kill and shed innocent blood, and he began to do all the same abominations that his daddy did. But then there was a young man that's born to Ammon, and his name is Josiah. And when he's a little boy, some of Ammon's servants, his father's servants, began to conspire against him, and they kill this king. And when he's killed, they place this young 8-year-old boy to reign in his stead by the name of Josiah. Now, there had been a prophecy many years before. There had been a young prophet that had came into town, and he gave this prophecy that this altar that had been raised up to a pagan god, that there would be a king named Josiah that would be born, and that he would tear down this altar. And this prophet, even though he was disobedient to God's word, yet his prophecy remained the same. Didn't change the prophecy at all. And so we find that as time goes on, the books of these prophecies and of the Chronicles of the Kings and of the laws of Moses, it kind of gets lost in a place of the treasury. And there comes a time when King Josiah goes, and you know, his father, even yet being an evil man, yet he's anointed without knowing about this book because it had been lost. But he's anointed to name his son Josiah. And here his daddy had been evil, and he had been evil. But now this child Josiah that comes forth by prophecy is going to break this cycle. Amen. That's what we want to look at this morning, breaking the cycle. And we find that Josiah, as he comes up, here he is a child, and not realizing that he's been born a prophetic gift or a prophetic birth, that he's been told that this birth would take place and what the child's name would be. He didn't recognize that he was going to step into the vision, as Sister Burr sang earlier. He didn't recognize yet that he was part of the vision. But one day they needed some things, and he sends a man down into the treasury to get him. And while Hilkiah is down there giving these things, he stumbles across this book, and he begins to read it, and he begins to get some inspiration. He says, oh my, the king needs to hear about this. And he brings it just like somebody brought it to you. Maybe they brought you a tape, or maybe they brought you a tract, or maybe they brought you a book, or maybe they just told you about God sending a prophet, but somebody brought it to you. Brother Branham said it always comes through the body somehow. And somebody brought it to you, and he brings it to King Josiah. And can you imagine, as King Josiah begins to sit there, and he opens up the pages, and he begins to read prophecies about himself. I hope the bride of Jesus Christ can recognize this morning that there's been prophecies about us, and that we're going to step into the vision because we're part of the vision. And Josiah begins to read, and my, there's going to be a king by the name of Josiah that's going to come forth, and he's going to tear down these altars. And he begins to recognize that the vision isn't for somebody else. Oh, I hope you recognize this morning, this message isn't just for somebody else. It wasn't just for your daddy or your grandpa or your aunt or your uncle, but this message is for you. It's a love letter. This wasn't William Branham's message. He was just the vessel that God used to bring it. But it was a love letter to his bride. And Josiah begins to recognize that this word is something that's personal to him, and that he's going to fulfill this prophecy that's been given. His daddy had been evil. His granddaddy had been evil. But yet this prophecy said that he was going to tear down these things that his fathers before him had built up. And not only that, but in the book of Kings, in the very word of God, it says, but before this young man, there was never a king that turned with his whole heart towards God. Solomon was before this king. David was before this king. Many great kings that we know their names better than this king. But yet there was never one before him that turned to God with all of his heart like Josiah did. And there was never one after him like it. But his granddaddy was evil, and his daddy was evil. No doubt people in the town said, well, I guess he'll just be evil too, just to chip off the whole block like his daddy. He's got those attributes like his daddy. He looks like his daddy. He walks like his daddy. He struggles with some of the same things his daddy did, but he broke the cycle. Brother Branham says in hearing, recognizing, and acting on the word of God, 1960, he said, righteous or evil does, either one, it follows families. Now, this wasn't just something that the prophet made a statement of, but we can recognize when you go back and you look into the Bible, there was a man by the name of Amalek, and this man, he had some descendants, the Amalekites, and when Moses and the children of Israel came out of Egypt and they began to wander in the desert, God looked down and he saw what the Amalekites were doing to the children of Israel. And when some of them would get weak and tired or sickly and fall behind the rest of the group, the Amalekites would swoop down on them and they would rob them and they would kill them. And God tells Moses, he said, you remind Joshua what the Amalekites did to you on the way out of Israel, and I won't forget it, and I'll have war with the Amalekites from generation unto generation. Now, there was another man by the name of Hobab that most of you probably don't know. If I ask you who Hobab was, you probably wouldn't remember his name, but he was Moses' father-in-law's son, so he's Moses' brother-in-law. And when he comes out of Egypt, Moses approaches Hobab because he knows this area of desert, this is where he's grown up. He says, I want you to be our guide, I want you to be our eyes. He said, no sir, I'm going to go back to my daddy and I'm going to live comfortably, I'm going to stay with him. And he said, if you'll just be our eyes in this wilderness, then we won't forget it and God won't forget it. Now, the children of Moses' father-in-law was the Kenites, and they settled in a land there near the children of Israel. And when they did this, the Amalekites were in the same region that they were in. And many years later, actually 400 years later, God tells King Saul through the mouth of Samuel, he said, you go and you wipe out the Amalekites. 400 years later, God is still remembering this sin that took place. 400 years later, and he says, you wipe them out completely. But at the same time as he goes to do this, Saul goes and he sends messengers in ahead. And he says, you warn the Kenites that we're coming in and we're going to wipe out the Amalekites. And we don't want to get a Kenite and Amalekite confused because they live in the same area. Tell them to get out. God remembered what the Kenites had done too. And so this righteousness and this evil had followed these families for generation after generation. For 400 years, God is still remembering this. But yet we find out by Josiah here that it doesn't have to stay that way. Your daddy might have been an Amalekite, but you don't have to stay that way. Now, Saul's mistake was he didn't have complete obedience. That seems like it's been the theme of the meetings, is just obedience to God's word. It's so simple, yet we have such a hard time with it, it seems like, just to be obedient. And Saul, he wanted to sacrifice, and he wanted to do great mighty things, and he wanted to tell everybody, hey, me and Samuel say this, and me and Samuel say that, and he wanted to identify himself with the prophet, like many today that say, oh, we believe God sent a prophet, but yet they won't come under full obedience to what the prophet said. It's one thing to be identified around it. It's one thing to say you believe God sent a prophet. 2 million people walked out of Egypt saying, God sent a prophet. Thank God for a deliverer. Thank God that he delivered me from my sins, and he delivered me from my bondage, and he delivered me from my chains and my circumstance. Thank God for sending a prophet with deliverance. But a few years later, there was two of them that was still standing strong with the message. You say, oh my, a lot of people have walked away from the message, Brother Nathan. In Moses' day, of that original group that came out of Egypt, 1,999,998 of the original 2 million walked away from the message. They yearned to go back to their denominations, or they yearned to go back to the world, or they thought Dathan and Korah had a little bit better websites had a little bit better ministry than Moses did. And they began to fall off here and fall off there. But there were two of them that said, you know, maybe Caleb could look over at Joshua and say, look, buddy, I love you, but even if you fall away, I'm standing for the truth. Joshua could look back and say, I feel the same way, buddy. I love you and I'd do anything for you. But if you go back, I'm not going back just because you do. They had come too far to go back. Saul in his disobedience, he doesn't completely wipe out the Amalekites. And I think we've looked at it here before when I preached years ago, that the very thing that he was supposed to destroy wound up destroying him. Because when he dies, this young man comes running to David. They said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm a stranger, the son of an Amalekite." And the very thing that was supposed to destroy, that Saul was supposed to destroy, wound up destroying him. Many times, if we're not careful, the very things, the little pet sins that you baby, and you say, "Well, it's not that big of a deal," and you know, it's not really a big sin, and you know, this is just something I struggle with. If you're not careful, that same thing you were supposed to destroy might wind up destroying you and your family if you're not careful. Oh my. Lot, when he went out of Sodom, the angel told him, he said, "You get you up into that mountain." He said, "Oh no, I don't want to go up there." He said, "Can't I just stay at this city? It's just a little one. This city right outside of Sodom and Gomorrah, can't I just stay there? It's just a little city. It's just a little sin." And it was right there near the border of Sodom and Gomorrah. He kind of wanted to have one foot in the world and one foot over here in the message. And he kind of, you know, he liked the anointing that came with the message. He liked the healings and he liked the blessings, but he also liked the fashion and the popularity and things over here in the city limits of Sodom and Gomorrah. We've got too many, people on the fence in this message. I like what Elijah said. He said, "If God be God, let's serve him. Why halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, let's serve him." He said, "In fact, why don't we just serve the God that answers by fire? The God that there's a vindicated message behind. The God that's still healing. The God that's still saving. The God that's still filling. I can serve a God like that. I can serve a God like that." All these gods of people's imaginations, they've got Baptist gods and Methodist gods and Catholic gods and all kinds of different gods of their imagination of what they assume him to be. But I want the God of the Bible. Amen. He still answers by fire. Amen. I don't need a watered down gospel. I don't need a halfway something. And well, we don't want to offend anybody, so we won't read this quote. Or you know, we'll take the pictures down because we don't want to offend anybody. And I see a lot of churches doing that. But I told our church recently, I said, if I ever do that, I said, I want to give you liberty to lock me up in an insane institution, because I've obviously lost my mind if I do that. But I said, if you're eager to do that, then will you make the same agreement with me that I can do it to you if you take it out of your house? I haven't got any responses yet. Brother Branham tells us in Spoken Word is the original seed. He said, "Have you ever heard of a strain in a family? A son will kind of impersonate his father or the mother or the grandfather or grandmother, that strain in the family." I'm just going to take off my tie this morning, if you don't mind, and just preach. Amen. And don't get scared. Brother Branham says it too on a tape. You can go back and look at it. He said, "Oh my, how many Kentuckians are here tonight?" And they said, "Why?" He said, "Why do I even wear a tie and a jacket tonight?" So, amen. Don't get scared of that. There was a man named Abraham, and he was a prophet, and he had a son named Isaac, and he was a prophet, and he had a son named Jacob, and he was a prophet, and he had a son named Joseph, and he was a prophet. And this family trait went right down that line, but yet there were other sons. He had an Ishmael, and he wasn't a prophet, and Isaac had two sons, and one of them was predestinated, and one of them wasn't, yet they came from the same mommy and the same daddy. And then there was Jacob, rather, has 12 sons, but yet not all of them were prophets, but yet this family trait was passed down along. Many times you can look around and you see people in your family, and maybe it's a physical trait. Maybe you say, "Oh my, this one looks just like his daddy," or "This one just looks like their uncle," or "My, you know, that temper they've got, they got it from so-and-so," or "This stubbornness they got, you know, they get it from this side of the family or that side of the family." And we begin to look, if we're not careful, and assign these character traits. But I don't want you to, you know, look at your neighbor this morning and elbow them and say, "Oh yeah, you know where you got this or where you got that." I want us to look in the mirror at our own life a little bit this morning. Many times when I preach a sermon, somebody will say, "Oh my, you sure got brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so." I think, "Oh dear Lord, I wish you would have just got it for yourself." Many times we think of everybody else the sermon applies to, and we fail to recognize it speaking to me too. Saul had a son named Jonathan, and here Saul was jealous. He tried to kill David. He did all these things. And really, it was Jonathan that should have been jealous of David, because David didn't come and take the crown from Saul, but Jonathan never got to wear the crown because this anointing had passed instead of going from his daddy to him, like apostolic succession, like the Catholic Church believes. It had gone over to little shepherd boy. And we find that Saul begins to be very jealous and very upset and tries to kill David time and time again. But we find that Jonathan was able to humble himself and recognize the anointing that was on David. And he didn't have to be the man packing the ball. He said, just let me get behind that anointing. Oh, a lot of pastors today and a lot of ministers around the message, they want to elevate themselves up above the prophets. They say, oh, we've gone past the eyes into the intellect. I say, that's absolutely right. You went up into the intellect and lost your mind up there. Tried to get up into the intellect. Amen. You can't find me a quarter of scripture where any priest or king or preacher ever exceeds the prophet. But what it is Brother Branham said in the Church Age book, he said, those who faithfully serve under their prophets, that they would be the final voice to the final age. Amen. Many of us just forget where we're at. We try to place ourselves above the prophet or equal to the prophet, or some people try to place the prophet up on the same level as Jesus Christ, and we get everything out of balance. But I want to tell you tonight, there's a balance to this thing. There's an order to this thing. Everybody couldn't be a David. Can you imagine all of them out there? 500 of them. I'm going to fight Goliath. No, I'm going to fight Goliath. But we find, as usual, there was one man that had enough guts to go out there, and all the rest of them was shaking, hiding back somewhere, saying, oh, Lord, send somebody that's anointed to do the work. But they was able to get behind this anointing. God didn't call them all to be a David. He didn't call us all to be prophets. He didn't call us all to be pastors. He didn't call us all to be deacons. But once you recognize your place, whether it's a housewife or a Sunday school teacher or a song leader or just somebody that witnesses on the street or gets up and sings a special, once you recognize your position in the body of Christ, then all these members can fit jointly together and work together. But many times around the message, we find a disjointed body, and the legs are flopping and the arms are flopping because we're disjointed, and this leg's trying to go this way, and this leg's trying to go that way, and this side of the church wants this, and this side of the church wants that. And oh my, it's time we come together as the body of Christ. Too many pulpit hours have been wasted trying to correct other pulpits. Too many pulpit hours have been wasted trying to run everybody down instead of edifying the church like the Bible said the gifts were supposed to do. It wasn't set to beat everybody down. It was set to edify the church. Amen. I'm tired of wasting pulpit hours trying to straighten everybody else out. I'm just going to preach the truth. Amen. Let God straighten it out. We find there was a man named Levi. He came from this line of Jacob. But there was a strain in the family that he inherited this trait from his great-great-grandfather, Abraham. And he was able to receive this trait that God looks down through the Apostle Paul and says that Levi paid tithes to Melchizedek in Abraham. There were 11 other boys of Jacob's. He never said Issachar paid tithes in Abraham. He never said Simeon paid tithes in Abraham. Never said Joseph paid tithes in Abraham, or Judah, or any of the other boys, Naphtali, or any of them. But he recognizes this trait in Levi, that he paid tithes in Abraham. And he says the priesthood is going to come through this line because of this family trait that has been placed into this child. We find in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5 that Paul recognizes this character trait of a gift, of a strain, of a family that had been handed down to Timothy. And he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, I'm persuaded that in thee also. Many times gifts follow families. Doesn't always follow families. We've seen it times when you know, some people think it did, and it winds up being a mess because, well, my daddy was the pastor, so I'm going to take over, and it winds up falling apart because God wasn't in it. But there's other times where singers or ministries or prophets or different things, it follows down from generation to generation. We can see it from Sister Burst to Brother Jack to different ones that gifts were handed down. You can see it last night from Sister Gina down to Brother Justin and Sister Christina, and how these gifts get passed down through families. But just just as many of the good godly traits are passed down, so many of these things of the flesh begin to get passed down as well. Satan always tries to copy what God does. And if there's gifts and things of God that get passed down, faith and wisdom and all these different things that get passed down, then there's also things that get passed down on the negative side. God being misunderstood in 1961, they asked Brother Branham this question. Said, Brother Branham, I'm saved and have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, but how do I get away from a stubborn spirit that I can't seem to break away from? Every time I've read this quote, it gets quiet in every church I preached it in. How can I get away from that stubborn spirit that I can't seem to break away from? Oh my. He says, well, my Christian brother or sister, whoever it may be. Now, most times when you find people that's got stubborn spirits, it's usually a complex that causes this. Either they've inherited it from a mother, father, uncle, aunt, or grandmother, grandfather, somebody like that. And if you'll chase back down through your life, you'll find. Now, I've taken it by experience under discernment because I've met cases on the platform, thousands of those that had that spirit. And the first thing you know, I chase that spirit right back by discernment and find that there was a granddaddy, there was a grandmother, there was somebody else back down here, down there rather, and you inherit that by nature. He said, stubbornness is not of God, and now the only way to get away from that is you have to have faith to overcome that. That is if you're a Christian. You're a son or a daughter of God, whichever you may be, and you'll never be able to stand and rebuke it and rebuke it and rebuke it. It's just like tantalizing a rattlesnake. He's laying there ready to bite you. If you'll just ignore him and walk away from him, he can't hurt you. I preached this sermon up in Delaware, and I had a sister come up. She said, I feel like I'm losing my mind, and Satan just keeps battling me over this one thing over and over and over. I said, just do what the prophet said. All right. Amen. Don't stand there and just try to rebuke it and rebuke it and rebuke it. Just ignore the thing. Amen. Lay it at the altar and say, Satan, I'm not fighting it anymore. I give it back. Amen. And just walk away. And when he comes and tries to torment you, you just ignore that thing. Just ignore it. Don't you try to fight it. Don't you try to battle it. I told the church a while back, we try to battle so many things and fight so hard. And I'm fighting this, Brother Nathan, and I'm fighting this temptation, and I'm fighting this addiction, and I'm fighting this, and I'm fighting that. Stop fighting. Amen, give it to Jesus and walk away and ignore the thing. We try to fight on our own, but we fail to realize Satan is already a defeated enemy. Can you imagine, Brother Troy, if I got up here and I said, you know, I'm going to be down here in Miami next Saturday night. I'm going to be fighting a prize fight. And you would look at me and say, well, it's probably going to be a heavyweight fight. I can tell that much. I'm going to be fighting, I don't even know who the heavyweight champion of the world is right now. But, you know, whoever's got the belt right now, the heavyweight champion, I'm going to be fighting them. And I want you all to go and take all the spare money that you have. We don't believe in betting. I'm just using this as an example. But it's such a sure thing that I want you to take everything you've got. You know, take out a second mortgage on your home, whatever. Go down and place it on me because I'm going to fight the heavyweight champion of the world. I haven't trained. I'm out of shape. I've never fought a professional fight. I've hardly ever fought a real fight. But I'm going down, I'm going to defeat the heavyweight champion of the world. You'd say, oh my. Well, God bless you, Brother Nathan. You go in God's grace and the best of everything to you, but I'll keep my money in my pocket. But what if I told you that last night the heavyweight champion of the world, he was driving across some railroad tracks and his car had got struck by a train and now he was in traction and he had a tube down his throat and he was in a coma and he was paralyzed from the neck down and he didn't have, they thought he was brain dead and they were going to prop him up and say, in this corner, weighing 287 pounds in a hospital bed. Unable to breathe without assistance from machines. The doctors have determined him brain dead. He's completely paralyzed from the neck down. And in the right corner, the pastor from Jeffersonville wearing all black. Weighing, I won't reveal that this morning, but standing at just about 6 foot tall.
Hallelujah.
Red hair, brown eyes, ugly. Then would you be willing to put a little bit of money on the situation? Why? Because I would be fighting an enemy that was already defeated. I didn't have to do nothing but go over and just pull the plug. Ding, 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 ding. Over. Bring in the doctor. Hook that thing back up.
Hallelujah.
Already a defeated enemy. Now, when I described it to you at first, you weren't very positive. You didn't have much confidence in me. Brother Nathan has lost his mind because of the title that I gave. Oh, the heavyweight champion of the world. He's big. He's bad. He's won, 87 fights undefeated. He weighs 287 pounds. He's 6 foot seven. He's got an 80 inch reach on him, and how am I ever gonna come up against a guy like that? Let me tell you, you're no match for the devil. He's got all kinds of titles that you could never aspire to. He's witnessed things down through history. He's watched people that had the same nature and same type of personality as you, and he's whooped them from one end to another and sent them to hell. And he says, I've seen some like this before. I've seen some that act like Brother Solomon. Yeah, I know his type. I've seen that type down through history. And I've seen Brother Jack, his sense of humor and his personality and his little quirkiness and the things that he deals with. And Brother Nathan, the family traits that he was handed down, all the battles that he faces. I've seen these guys are a dime a dozen. I've seen them before. They're no match for me. That's absolutely right. But he's a defeated enemy. I don't have to defeat him. Because Jesus already came, not only did he defeat him at Calvary, but he walked down and he kicked open the doors to hell and he said, give me those keys to death, hell, and the grave. And now Satan, not only is he defeated, not only is he in a coma and has to ask God for permission before he can do anything to you, but he doesn't even have the keys to his own house. He doesn't even have the keys to death. He can't take you until God says, I'm done with them. You say, oh, why did this child die? Or why did this happen? Why did that happen? We look at it, as human beings, we have compassion and we get emotional over things. And we look at it in our little fragmented space of time. And we wonder, God, why would you allow this? And why would you allow that? But God looks down through eternity and he says, this is best for this one. And this is best for that one. I've got to bring this one in this way. And I've got to bring this one in that way. Brother Branham said when he stood there and he had seen little Sharon Rose suffer till she was cross-eyed. And he said, it just tore the heart out of him. He said that was his Gethsemane, the hardest time that he ever faced, seeing that little child die. But he said when he looked at her over there beyond the curtain of time, and there she stood in a happy, healthy, adult body, and she said, oh, Daddy, we're so happy over here. He said if she would have lived, maybe she would have gotten in trouble. But God knew what was best. God knew what was best. Amen. I'm depending on him this morning. I'm not depending on my ability. I'm not depending on my check account. It's not much to boast about. I'm not depending. We have some wonderful doctors, nurses and surgeons and things that come to our church, that as much as I appreciate them and the work that they do for humanity, I'm not depending on them for my health. As much as I appreciate, medical science and the things that have gone on, if we live another, if time tarries another 100 years, they'll laugh at our medical books today, just as we laugh at the ones from 100 years ago. Can you imagine going down saying, doctor, I'm sick, but I don't have confidence in these new books. I've got an old book from the Civil War on medical history, and I'd like you to take this and perform surgery on me. And he says, okay, well, you've got an infection in your leg, all right. And he gets out the hacksaw out of his medical bag, and he begins to sharpen that thing up. You say, wait a minute. Can you imagine depending on a scientific book from 100 years ago when they would have never thought that we could fly and we could drive cars at the speeds that we do. And when you talk about smartphones and satellites and things, they would have thought we were insane. But there's one book that hasn't changed in 2,000 years, and it's still just as dependable. It's still just as accurate. Brother Jack and brothers like myself, I told the church a while back, I said, I've heard David and Goliath preached on 500 times. I've never heard it the same way. My brother got up the next Wednesday night and preached on David and Goliath. He said, 501, Brother Nathan. We had a guest minister come a couple weeks ago, David and Goliath, 502 now. But men can pick up this inspired word and read it and bring it from an angle that you think, oh my, I never would have thought of it that way. Even us minister brothers, our brother pick up something, you know, and preach on it. And, Brother Jack was preaching on Moses when he was there, and I had just went through Moses, and he brought out some things I never thought of. We'd spent a great series on it, and he talked about running from the snake and different things of how he imagined it if he was Moses, and things that I never thought of. Why? Because he's learning, gleaning from his experience and things that he's seen, and he's reading the word with that anointing. And any other book we could take and we would read and we would talk about it and it'd be kind of the same. But when we get to this book and men have preached on it for generation after generation under anointing, and they're able to bring it fresh and bring it down to our day today. Why? Because it's a living word. It's a living word. My confidence isn't in all these other things. My confidence is in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. God has allowed me the privilege of calling some of the greatest men around this message, my friends. Some of the most anointed ministers from your pastor to brothers all around this nation and around the world. He's given me, I don't know why He blessed me that way, Brother Jack, but I've been able to call some of the most anointed ministers that surround this message my friends. I've been able to call some of Brother Branham's family and some of the brothers that was there and hunted with Brother Branham and fished with him. I'm able to call them my friends, and as much as I love them and I appreciate them, I'm not depending on one of them for my salvation. I'm not depending on them for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but I'm depending on Jesus Christ. Many times we lift up a man on a pedestal and we say, oh my brother so-and-so, if it wasn't for him, I don't know where I'd be. Hey, it's all right to appreciate gifts. It's all right to appreciate anointing. But don't put your entire confidence in any man, I don't care who he is, except the man Jesus Christ. Men will let you down. Men will disappoint you. Maybe not even intentionally. Maybe they'll forget to shake your hand. You go home, oh, Brother Jack didn't shake my hand today. Oh, Lord. I can't make it through another week now. Brother Bram said there's hotbed plants, you know, that you have to kind of baby and water. You have them in every church, you know, and you got to kind of encourage them along and lift them up. And if you don't know, you say, there's none like that in my church. Well, it's probably you. Nobody like that in our church, Brother Nathan. Okay. Pastor's got to call him every week. You coming to church? We'll sure miss you if you're not there. Oh, thank you. I'm so thankful somebody appreciates me. And then he's out of town the next week. And, oh, Lord, nobody called me. Nobody loves me. You're dependent on people. I'm not dependent on people. I love Brother Jack, but if Brother Jack forgets to call me and encourage me, I'm not going to allow that to affect my victory and my joy and my peace. I love Brother Jack, but I'm dependent on Jesus. God has used Brother Jack to be an encouragement to me. God has used Brother Jack to be a blessing to me. But I'm not resting my entire hopes and faith in Him. Because there'll be times, you know, people at our church, I have to keep reminding them, this is not about Brother Nathan. If Brother Nathan gets hit by a bus tomorrow, Jesus Christ will still take care of you. We get so caught up in personalities and ministries and things sometimes, but what it takes is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He's the one that'll take you through. He's the one that'll encourage you when it seems like the storm clouds are everywhere and everybody else has forsaken you and forgotten about you. There's one that won't. Sometimes our busy schedules, we forget to call and encourage people, or we forget to pat somebody on the back and tell them what a good special they did. And you know, I've had people come to me and say, you didn't even say anything about my special. I said, well, I did from the pulpit. I said, didn't you appreciate that number? But because I didn't go and give them a personal, oh,
Brother Jack,
song. Oh, my. We couldn't have had a service today if it hadn't been your song. Oh, God has lifted you up, my brother. They think, oh, nobody cared. Don't you realize that's the devil lying to you? That's the devil trying to divide the body of Jesus Christ. Don't depend on my compliments to get you through. I'm forgetful. I forgot to call people up for specials. I forgot to read prayer requests. I didn't do it intentionally. But I got busy and had 50 other things going on. I maybe had it right there in front of me and read right over it, thinking about 20 other things that was going on in the church. Somebody get their feelings hurt. I didn't do it intentional. I didn't do it to hurt them. But I'm thankful they didn't have their eternal destination resting in whether I read their prayer request or not. Because God knew about it before they wrote it anyhow. He says, so when you feel that you got a stubborn spirit, lay the thing on the altar and believe God that the thing is dead and you will never have it no more, and go on and don't even pay any attention to it no more, and the thing will leave you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's get away quickly. So that would be my advice how to overcome it. We overcome the devil by faith. That's what we overcome all evil is, by faith. He says again, questions and answers, 1964. He says, they ask him the question, when a person realizes he has an inferior complex or some sort of complex, how may he overcome this? So should it be, if he was the only child, caused this in his early youth? He said, take exactly the opposite. If you're always wanting your way and that one little brat that wants to always have everything your way, turn right back around and give everything you got the other way. If you're selfish and you want to hold everything, then start giving away what you got. See, do whatever. Just go vice versa. That's the way to overcome anything, is the antidote. The antidote. Many times, you know, when you go to the hospital, you don't say, oh, I've got the flu. Can you give me some more flu? But you take the exact opposite. You take an antidote, something to kill that thing that's bothering you. So if you're selfish, oh my, let somebody eat some of your cheese fries this afternoon. Let them borrow one of your vehicles when theirs is broke down. You say, oh, Brother Nathan, I couldn't do that. Do just the opposite of whatever that nature is trying to do. Why don't you break that cycle? I preached this in Delaware a while back, and we went out to eat, and I reminded my uncle quickly that, you know, when he had those fries, I said, you remember the sermon this morning about sharing? Paradox 1963 said, for instance, a few days ago I was called on a scene or on a little something going on. There was a fine young man, very fine boy. He was going with a little girl, very fine little girl, out of a fine family. And this boy all of a sudden came up with some kind of an idea and he just walked away. He did something wrong to the little girl and much as promised her to do a certain thing and then didn't do it. And instead of coming to the girl and apologizing like a gentleman should do, it just wasn't in him to do it. He drops down a little further. He said he had repented, been baptized, and had his position among the believers, but yet had not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. No matter how much he thought he had, you thinking you have and having it is two different things. He said, you might be able to try to say you have, and you might be able to show some evidence of some emotion, but unless your life is vindicating what you're professing to have, you still haven't got it. He drops down a little further. He said, now this young fellow's parents, his mother's German, no reflection on the German, he says, but there's a strain in that family, and that is they'll just sit, and you can talk to them, and they'll just stare you right in the face. He said he went to this girl, this boy's aunt's house. He was walking by, and she was sitting up on the porch. He said, God bless you. Good to see you, sister. And she just sat and stared. Come see us sometime at the church. We'd love to see you. Just sit and stared. I've preached to a lot of people like that. Preach your heart out. study to all hours of the night. Holy Spirit falling, this side of the church rejoicing and jumping, and somebody just sitting there. Pretty good chewing gum. Just sit and snare. Brother Bram said that lady took her child into the 10-cent store. That'd be a dollar store today by inflation. And took her to a 10-cent store and was taking her around. She said she began to get desperate. And the people came up and said, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" Said, "Oh, I've just been shaking things in front of the child that should get its attention." But said, "There's something wrong. The doctor said it was better, but said it's not responding to anything that it should. It just sits and stares." Brother Bram said, "That's the condition of a lot of people in the church today. God has shaken every gift, every sign, every mystery, every revelation in front of the church of the living God. Many times we sit and stare." Brother Jack did about the same as he always does, you know. His okay service. That sister has sang that special 17 times. Sit and stare. Now the father of the boy, he said, is strictly an Irishman, moody and high-tempered, high-strung. He goes down a little further. He said, now the genes in the father and the mother of this boy, no matter how much they are converted, still remains the flesh. They had got the Holy Ghost, but these genes that was in the flesh, these German traits, and these Irish traits, and all these traits that you can trace back to maybe your family, or you know, your mother's side of the family, or your daddy's side of the family, and you can trace back. No matter how much they had the Holy Ghost down here, it didn't give this the Holy Ghost. This out here never got the Holy Ghost. And that strain was still in the family. And even though they were converted, these things came out. And Brother Bram says it was interbred out to this boy. Therefore, the boy has got a complex in him just from like his mother's family. And he goes on speaking about the boy's mother. He said, "You're the only one of all your sisters and brothers that you're sweet, kind, forgiving. What does that? Your tree, part of that family tree, yet you have received the Holy Ghost." Still part of this same family tree, but she had received the Holy Ghost. He said, "That's the thing that made you tender and sweet. It's not your people anymore. It's your Christ that lives in you." How is it that we can go places? Brother Jack can go to Zimbabwe and all over different places in the world. And there's something about it. Certain brothers or sisters you meet there, it's just like, I don't care what color they are, what country they came from, who their daddy was, who their mommy was. They might have been alcoholics or moonshiners or prostitutes or drug addicts or whatever they was. And you get around them, you say, something about that brother. Something about that sister seems like I've just known them my entire life. Maybe you did know them somewhere back in eternity. Some of those same attributes that you recognize, people's able to look. You know, my little boy Philip, I don't have to tell many people he's my son, but they can look and see that he resembles me, especially people that knew me about that age. They recognize his eyes and his hair and different things. You know, he walks around and sticks out his stomach and says, "Look, Daddy, I'm getting more like you every day." I said, "Son, I was skinny too when I was 9. But they can see those character traits in him. I hope that people can look when I walk down the streets of West Palm Beach or Jeffersonville or New Albany, and they can recognize some of my daddy's character traits in me. They can recognize that there's a strain in my family, that I inherited some things, that they can recognize that there's something about that brother, just no matter what you say about him, he just unconditional love. I'm trying to get there to that place of perfect love. I don't claim to be there because my feet are still here on the earth. I haven't taken a personal rapture yet, but I'm getting there closer. Each day, each week, each month. I hope you don't look back and say, "Oh, I wish I could be as close to God as I was a year ago." I hope you're further up the road than you was a year ago. And these character traits of our Father, oh, may they be passed down to us. He said, "Your tree, part of that family tree, that you received the Holy Ghost. That's the thing that made you tender or sweet. It's not your people anymore. It's your Christ that lives to you." He said, I said to the boy, "Look at your family. Practically all of them are drunks and so forth. And how moody and high-tempered and high-strung, but you're not. You're kind, forgiving. What is it? The Holy Spirit. You're no more what you are. It's Christ in you." I said, now that same thing has to happen to your son. The father raised up and said, my son went to the altar. He was baptized correctly in the name of Jesus Christ and water baptism in the pool. Said, I know my son has come to Christ. I said, that may be all right, all the outward motions. He might be identified as a believer with the believers, but until he is regenerated, born again, I'd advise that young man to never marry a woman. He'll make hell on earth for her until that gentle, sweet, forgiving spirit of Christ comes in. Brother Jack's going to be talking about marriage and courtship here on, is it Friday night? I'd advise you to come and listen. Brother Branham said a man should pray earnestly, for he could ruin his entire life. I don't believe that just applied to the men. I believe the women should pray earnestly before they accept an invitation, or they could ruin their entire life. You say, oh, but I know he's the one for me. Maybe he is. Oh, I know she's the one for me. Maybe she is, but maybe it's not God's timing. Maybe they need the Holy Ghost. And if they don't have the Holy Ghost, trust me, any of you married people with the Holy Ghost can tell and witness, it's hard enough with the Holy Ghost. You get two different people, and, you know, Brother Jack's wife, her mommy probably made pancakes a certain way, and Sister Burr's probably made pancakes a certain way. And if you're not careful, the brother says, well, my mommy didn't make pancakes that way. I like it the way my mommy made it. She said, well, go on back to mommy's house and eat those pancakes then. Well, my mommy folded the towels this way. Well, why don't you go on back to mommy and let her fold your towels for you? Well, my daddy cut the grass on Tuesdays. Well, go watch him on Tuesday. I'm cutting it on Friday. And you got these two backgrounds. And maybe one of them, maybe one family has a lot of temper, and that brother's got to stay prayed up so that temper don't come out. And that sister, maybe she's real stubborn. And even when she knows he's right, she don't want to admit it because she's stubborn. Or vice versa. And that strain in those families. If the Holy Spirit doesn't temper those things, a few years later, where's Brother So-and-so? Oh, they got a divorce, didn't you hear? They left and this happened and that happened. Why? Because they didn't wait for the Holy Spirit to come and take those strains out of their life. They didn't wait for the Holy Spirit to break those cycles. And they couldn't even put up with themselves, let alone somebody else. We should pray earnestly. You should pray for your children. Satan wants to set a trap for them. He wants to get them in trouble. He wants to ruin their life. I'm thankful social media wasn't around when I was a teenager. I got in enough trouble without social media. I thank God. I read a statistic the other day in the UK. And I'm not talking about basketball or football. Over in London, over in England, in the United Kingdom, they said that one out of every three divorces in the UK has been tracked back to Facebook. That so-and-so's girlfriend or boyfriend got on there and said, oh, how you doing? Well, me and the wife been fighting and she just don't understand me. And, oh, I remember when we used to go and do this, and we never fought like that. We had some good times, didn't we? Oh, we had some good times. Yeah, and she was probably a Jezebel. Probably would have cheated on you with about 50 people. Oh, but you had some good times. And the mommy of your children sitting there trying to put up with you, trying to wash your clothes, and but you're over there. She just don't understand me. And one out of every three divorces, they trace back to social media. Be careful. If you can't handle it, there's a delete button on that app. I'm going to preach a sermon sometime called There's an App for That. You got a problem? There's an application. An application of the blood of Jesus Christ. You say, oh, Brother Nathan, I get on there, and some of those sisters, they put on some of those pictures up. They claim to be message sisters, and I just struggle with it. Delete the thing. You struggling with it? Delete the thing. You say, oh, I can't have a TV. I can't have the internet. I struggle with pornography. I struggle with this. Get rid of the thing. You say, well, Brother so-and-so has it. Maybe Brother so-and-so doesn't struggle with that. Maybe he just struggles with hitting holes in the wall with his temper. That's his strain. Maybe you got a different strain. My watch says I'm done, but the Holy Spirit says a few more minutes. Can I have about 10 more minutes? You used to complain when I came. I only preached 45 minutes, so I'm making up for lost time. He says in the manifestation of the Spirit in 1951, he said, now sickness is an attribute of sin. Before we had any sin, we had no sickness. Sin came and sickness followed sin as an attribute of sin. We know that. Any sickness, maybe not our sins, it's either a direct or indirect. Maybe you inherited it somewhere. The weakness of our people who sin, and it's dropped down, as he said, each generation getting weaker and wiser, but it's either direct or indirect caused from sin. Maybe you didn't sin. You remember they brought the man up before Jesus and said, who sinned that caused him to be blind? Was it his parents? Was it him? He said it was neither. But it was that God could be glorified. But somewhere back down through there, even if we trace it all the way back to Eve, at some point it was caused by sin. And sin entered in and sickness followed and death followed. But many of these things, even medical doctors will tell you, glaucoma and diabetes and many different things, they're hereditary and they're passed down from generation to generation. Now, we can either, allow Satan to scare us death with that. My grandpa died at about 52 years old of a heart attack driving down the road, and he just kind of slumped over in the seat, and my grandmother got it pulled off to the side of the road and stopped, and he died at 52 years old. And I grew up worrying that my dad wouldn't live past 52, and at about 60 years of age, he had to have a heart stent put in. If it hadn't been for that, he probably would have died at a young age. And so I can stay up and worry every night. Every time I eat a French fry, Brother Troy, I can think, oh God, this is the big one. This is the French fry that's going to be the death of me. It's going to clog that last artery, and that's going to be, they're going to say, oh my, poor Nathan, I knew him well. Ate many a cheese fry with him. I told him to lay off those Mountain Dews, and he wouldn't listen. I can stay up and worry about that and let it drive me crazy. Or I can let the Holy Spirit break that cycle in my family. Say, Lord, if you could take away the temper, if you could take away the stubbornness, if you could take away the lust, if you could take away whatever it was that was your family strain, you can take away those physical attributes of sickness that was passed down as well. You say, I don't know about that, Brother Nathan, all right? Brother Bud Sothwick, many of you know the story about the bear and the grizzly bear and the caribou. Brother Bud Sothwick was up with Brother Branham in British Columbia there, but Brother Bud Sothwick had a brother that had epileptic fits, and Brother Branham tells him in a sermon that you probably are familiar with the title, Spirit of Truth, 1963. He says, you might not believe it, but it's hereditary. He's speaking to Brother Bud Sothwick about his brother. He said, you might not believe it, but it's hereditary. Your grandfather had them. And so this man, here he is, he keeps falling into these epileptic fits. It skipped a generation, went from his grandfather to him. Brother Bud didn't have them, but his brother has these epileptic fits. And Brother Branham tells him, he said, next time you're with him and he falls into one of these epileptic fits, he said, rip off his shirt and throw it in the fire. That's right. You say, what on earth does that have to do with epilepsy? Well, let me ask you, what on earth does this anointing oil have to do with healing? We said this the other night at Brother Gene's, I think. There's no virtue in this oil. If there's healing power in this oil, Brother Jack should get a baptistry full of it and bring people and just baptize them in the oil. I've got a handkerchief that I used last night, that or a little prayer cloth that was taken from some sheets that Brother Branham prayed over. We take that from Acts chapter 19, where they took from the body of Paul handkerchiefs and aprons, and they laid it on the people, and they was healed. My aunt, she had uncontrollable nosebleeds. things as a child. And they sent off for one of the prayer cloths, and they got it, and they laid it on her. She was having a nosebleed at the time, and it stopped instantly, and she's never had a nosebleed since. She's 70-something years old. So we believe in that. But there's no virtue in this cloth. There's no more virtue in this cloth than the cloth off of your bed or whatever it would be. Jesus said they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But there's no virtue in mine worthy hands. If there is, let's call everybody from West Palm Beach and line them up, empty the hospitals and everywhere, and just let me lay hands on them if it's my hands. But it's obedience to God's word. I can't maybe explain all the mechanics no more than when I get on an airplane and fly somewhere, I can explain the thrust and the power and the propellers and all the mechanics behind it. But I've experienced it before that when I get on one of them, it takes off and it lands and it works. And I don't need to understand all the mechanics behind it and get a Boeing 747 manual and read through 786 pages of mechanics to understand it like we try to do with the message and figure it all out. But I've seen it work before. So I know it'll work again. And it's not the oil. It's not the cloth. It's not my hands or Brother Jack's hands. It's that we're doing it in obedience to God's word. And God's word says so. And if God's word said, stand up here and do a handstand for 45 minutes, then I'd do that. Brother Branham said, rip off the shirt and throw it in the fire. And they did. And I can't explain to you the mechanics behind it. No more than I can. Explain why Moses had to get some dust and throw it up in there and say, let there be fleas. What did dust have to do with it? What did throwing up a rock have to do with judgment striking the West Coast? I can't explain to you the mechanics behind it, but I know the dynamics worked. That's all that matters to me. Church of the Living God, 1951. He said, sir, you're a very deep thinker, aren't you? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're always studying things, and if I'd say that you might know that you cross bridges many times before you get to him. Now, that's hereditary. That's your makeup. Painted Face Jezebel, 1956. He said, what do you think, lady, sitting right back there? You got stomach trouble, haven't you? Got a little girl's got stomach trouble, too. Oh, that surprised you, didn't it? But you got healed then. Amen. You're of a nervous sort of family. That's a peptic condition of the stomach that causes that. The little girl inherited it from you. From your nervousness. She inherited this. Many different things. Brother Bram said that one girl, she came up in the prayer line and he said, I begin to see her get smaller. And he said, I see you as a young girl in a checkered dress. He said, you're being chased by a big yellow dog and you run up on a porch. And she had forgot all about that. But something back in her subconscious had caused these problems. Now, it took a prophet of God to bring those things out, but many of us don't have to look back that far. We can look at our uncle or our aunt or our cousin or our grandpa or mother or father, and we recognize these things I'm dealing with. Maybe it's an alcohol problem. Maybe whatever it would be. I was teasing somebody that one of our family members, they cremated him, and he burned for 3 weeks. A line of alcoholics. Moonshiners, bar brawlers. My dad used to love to fight. He I don't know if he ever actually went looking for a fight, but if there was one around, he'd sure find a way into it. He'd fight with kids at the school grounds that were bigger than him, and he just had that junkyard dog fight in him that he'd outlast them. Not so much outfight them, but he'd outlast them. I like my teeth. I broke that cycle by the help of the Lord. My nose is ugly enough without being broken. I like it the way it is. God help me break that cycle. Different cycles that you see in your families. You don't have to just say, well, I'm just a Duff. That's just the way that I am. I'm just a Wesco. That's just how we are. You know, take it or leave it. No, the Holy Spirit can break that cycle. You don't have to live in fear. Oh, my granddaddy died of cancer, I guess I will, or this one died of diabetes, or this one died of heart trouble, and all my, I guess that's just the route that I'll go. Don't accept the lie of the devil. If God can break all these other cycles, he can break these cycles in your life. Why don't you let the Holy Spirit break these cycles this morning? Amen. If the musicians would come, I've exhausted my welcome, but it's been good to be here. I pray that the Holy Spirit will help you recognize and break these cycles in your life. You don't have to live in fear anymore. You don't have to live in fear that, well, my granddaddy died of that. I guess that's what it'll be. Satan will try to make us afraid of anything he can. You'll get a little bruise on your leg. You'll think, oh my, Brother Bram said cancer starts as a bruise. I guess I just got a cancer. Don't let the devil lie to you. We was on our way down here. I was telling Brother Jack, and we got about an hour away from Chattanooga, and I began to smell smoke, and I thought, surely the car, you know, isn't having problems just this far into the trip, and kept smelling smoke and kept smelling smoke and didn't mention anything to my wife. And we got to Chattanooga and got checked into the hotel room. We'd been driving for about an hour, and we woke up the next morning about 7 a.m. The sun woke me up, and I thought, I still smell smoke. This is an hour further down the road. I thought, isn't one of the side effects of a brain tumor that you start smelling different burning things and things like that? Satan was trying to give me a brain tumor, Sister Rachel. Satan will put all kinds of crazy stuff in your head. I opened up the windows and there's just fog everywhere. And I Googled forest fire Chattanooga, and the whole forest down through Chattanooga was on fire for miles. But Satan was trying to tell me I had a brain tumor. You say, that's silly. What about you? What has he tried to lie to you about lately? Break that cycle. You don't have to live in fear anymore. The Holy Spirit can break these cycles. Amen. Help me sing this morning. Amen. Sister Cobb said, I don't sing this black enough, so I'm going to try this morning. Sister Nash, African-American sister that Brother Branham had prayed for, and her husband was healed, and they lived in Jeffersonville. We loved them. They were a precious family. We got to spend a lot of time with them. Brother Branham mentions her several times on tape. And her husband had a beautiful red Cadillac with a white vinyl top. It was a beautiful vehicle. And we would go out to eat with them at the Clarksville Seafood there, where Brother Branham used to eat, in different places. And my dad would fish with Brother Nash. And I remember going in their home, and they had those little Our Daily Breads, the little loaf of bread, plastic with the inserts of the scriptures. And Brother Nash would pass those around the table and have everybody read them. And then he'd break down on the 23rd Psalm and go through that. And we'd have a word of prayer and eat. And Sister Nash would always tell my mom, she said, he's too pale and he's too thin. My mom said, Sister Nash wants you to be a little fat black boy. She got half of her wish. So I've blackified a few songs here, haven't I, Sister Cobb? So I'll try it this morning. If I can't, I'll bring in a backup.
There is power, and it's in the name of Jesus. Church, I know there's power, and it's in the name of Jesus. I know there's power, and it's in the name of Jesus. Church, he can break every chain, oh, break every chain. Break every chain, Lord, come and break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. I know there's an army that's rising up. Oh yes, God's army, she's rising up. I can testify that there's an army. I recognize it's rising up. Oh Lord, come and break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Come and break every chain. Oh, break every chain.
Why don't you break those cycles this morning? I can feel all my chains, they're falling. Lord, I can feel Every chain of doubt and unbelief, this morning it's falling. Oh, I can feel, Lord, my chains, they're falling. Come and break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, Lord, break every chain. Lord, break every chain. I like this part. Oh, there's a bride. She's rising up. Lord, I know this morning that your bride, she's recognizing who she is. Oh, there's a bride. She's rising up. Come and break every chain, break every chain. Oh, let's bow our heads this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, no doubt there's many chains that need to be broken this morning. Many cycles in families. Lord, maybe it's a physical cycle of sickness. Maybe it's an emotional cycle of depression or nervousness, or maybe it's a complex that's been handed down of inferiority or thinking that somebody has something against them. Maybe it's something that, Lord, they've held back in their mind for years from where they was made fun of as a child. And maybe there's scars in their life where, Lord, maybe abused, or maybe they was made fun of or ridiculed. Oh, Father, there's chains on your people this morning, but I hope we can recognize that we're free. We don't have to be bound anymore. Satan has tried to place chains of circumstance and chains of doubt and unbelief and chains of vulnerability, chains of weakness and nervousness, and depression and discouragement, Father, but I hope we can recognize that the Holy Spirit can break these cycles. Maybe it's chains of lust or addiction, or maybe it's drug problems or alcohol problems or nicotine problems. Lord, maybe it's a temper. Maybe it's a stubbornness. Maybe, Lord, it's just that they have a hard time yielding themselves to you when you're calling them to do something. Whatever it would be, Father. Lord, maybe we can recognize these same things in our families down through. But Lord, may you come and just break chains this morning. May you grant deliverance this morning. May you grant victory this morning, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, I have no power to break these chains, but there's power in the name of Jesus. Power of deliverance, power of freedom. Oh, Father, may you just come and grant deliverance this morning. May you break every chain, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Can you sing it this way this morning? I can feel my chains. Oh yes, Lord. Oh, I can feel. I feel my chains, they're falling. Oh, I can feel my chains, they're falling. Lord, come and break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Lord, come and break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, I can feel my chains, they're falling. Oh, I can feel my chains, they're falling. Oh, I can feel. Chains are falling. Oh Lord, break every chain. Won't you break every chain?
Break every chain.
Church, I know there's power in the name. In the name of Jesus, there's power. Oh yes, Lord, I know. There's power, it's in the name of Jesus. Oh, he can break every chain. Oh, break every chain. Lord, come and break every chain.
Break every
will break every chain. Lord, I can feel. Yes, Lord, I can feel. All my chains, they're falling. Oh, I can feel. Every chain is falling. Oh, Lord, break every chain. Oh, break every chain. Oh, I can feel.
I feel
my chains are falling. Lord, I can feel.
I feel the chains falling.
Lord, I can feel.
I feel the chains.
My chains falling. Falling.
Hallelujah.
Lord, won't you break
every chain? I feel the chains falling. Everybody lift your voice. I feel the chains. Yeah. Hey, come on, I feel the chains. Glory to God. Oh, I feel the chains. Yeah. Come on, one more time. I feel the chains.
There is power in the name of Jesus. Yes, there is power. There is power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain. To break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. To break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Come on, to break every chain. To break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Hallelujah. To break every chain. To break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Oh, somebody worship him in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God, my God. Amen. Well, church, I know we heard from heaven. Amen. This weekend, just so much that the Lord has done. I'm sure that the testimonies will be coming in. Amen. In due time, but this was well worth Brother Nathan's visit. And praise the Lord. His family, we thank God for them pressing their way all the way down here. My chains are broken. Broken, 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 broken. Boy, that devil, I tell you, I'm talking, and unless you've been bound, you don't know what it feels like to be free. Amen. You had to be bound first before you understood, amen, the importance of being free. And I tell you what, man, chains are broken. And you hear the songwriter as she's singing, chains are broken, chains are broken. You know, I don't know what chains they talking about, but I know what chains I'm talking about today. Chains are broken. Amen. I hear the chains falling. Man, I remember Brother Branham was telling the dream, and he said, I couldn't figure out how to get the people out of the bars. He said, the bars are too strong. I didn't know how to get them out of that condition. But he knew he had a responsibility because the Lord Jesus told him, I'm expecting you to deliver those people. And he said, he looked at the bars and said, how could I do it with my little frail body? He said, so I said, because he couldn't do it with his own strength. So I said, house of hell, give way to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it said all the creaking and all the popping and all the chains are breaking. And I believe as the word of God was spoken this weekend, chains were broken. Amen. There's been creaking. There's been popping. Amen. I feel God's people has been set free. And they begin to yell and scream out from the top of their voice, deliver, deliver, deliver.
Thank God I've been delivered. Anybody thank God today for that? Hallelujah. My, 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 my. From sickness I've been delivered. From disease I've been delivered. From a strain in my family I've been delivered. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My God, chains are falling, church. I tell you, man, I'm just under expectation. We got one more service tonight, and if you're free, amen, we want to encourage you to come and be a part of the service there in Boynton Beach. We'll be meeting at 6 o'clock. Pray for Brother Nathan. He has one more to try to give on his voice, and I know what that's like. Amen. When you say, oh my, I've given everything I got, but pray God to give him just one more anointing. Amen, for tonight, and I just believe we'll be finishing off wonderful services this weekend, amen, with the service tonight. So if you're free, 6 o'clock we'll be there, Brother Gene's Church in Boynton Beach, amen. Our next service here will be Wednesday night at 7:30, amen, and then Friday night we'll be doing teaching on courtship versus dating. We invite everybody to come, amen, and be a part of that service. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Let's have a word of prayer, amen, as we dismiss. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your servant that would come and speak this message to our hearts, breaking the cycle. And God, how we can look back in life, sometimes the struggles that we have, we can see that it's passed down from somebody in the family. But the Holy Spirit is what gives us power to break the cycle. And you told us in your word that after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power. And God, I believe that as the platform has been laid, amen, we begin to see through revelation, God, what Satan has done. God, we rise up above that circumstance and that situation, and we allow the power of the Holy Ghost, God, to do the things that only it can do, to break, Lord, every chain, to break every strain, to break every struggle, Father, that we've had in our life. And Father, we thank you in advance for freedom that has come to every heart, Lord. We just appreciate that. Thank you, Father, for using Brother Nathan to speak to our hearts from Friday night to Saturday night to this morning. So much has been done. So much has been said. We just appreciate him getting himself out of the way, God, and allowing you to use him. We ask that you would bless him once more, Father, is our prayer, that you would anoint him afresh, Lord, to be able to deliver the sermon tonight as he goes into Boynton Beach. And as the saints gather from all the churches here in the area, God, may you move once more in our midst, we ask. Father, we just pray that those that are not able to make it tonight, bless them as they set out, Father, this week, and may they meditate on the things that they've heard. And God, bring us back at the appointed time on Wednesday night, Father, that you would just keep us until that time, and that you would strengthen us to continue this journey, Father. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. You can be seated. The brothers will come at this time to dismiss you. God richly bless you.